first third of December. What are you planning? Is the tree out? Are the decorations up? No more 12 days before and 12 days after. Everyone's gone crazy. Regardless, have you got 2 minutes to sit down, put your dancing shoes on, and just dance? Me, if I'm on the go, let me tell you, my dancing happens in the seat of my car. The cars around me like, that girl's having a party. It's gonna be done. We are gonna finish that wonderful girl talk we had last week, Rhiannon White. We have to finish that. Before that, let me introduce myself. For those of you who may be tuning in for the first time, I'm Jenny Russell. Welcome to Her Health and Happiness right here on UK Health Radio, your only real feel-good radio station. Available on Alexa, available as podcasts, on Android and iOS, however you get us. We are the only station that literally covers every area of health. How you doing? I really do hope, like me, you to remember that you are blessed and highly favored, amazing, a magnet for miracles, the solution to someone's problem, and the answer to somebody's prayer. I'm dancing, that's why I'm quiet. But listen, Her Health and Happiness is a show dedicated to all aspects of female intimate health and the whole person. So we're going to carry on talking about Clue, the wonderful menstrual app. But even before we do that, this weekend, I have my last unfiltered event for the year. And it is really dedicated and focused on men's health. And I'm really hoping, because women can come to it as well. So I'm hoping. But if you're wondering, maybe a few stats that I share will just jog something inside of you and make you feel like, let me think about it. Literally, I want you to really understand that you can live well without relying on medication. And so, December is wonderful. December is a month of celebration. You know, as a Christian, for me, Jesus is the reason for the season, right? But everything leads up to Christmas. And our Men's Health Live event this weekend, it's not a luxury. It really is for many, many men, and for the women that love them and that are around them, and for women too. It's a lifeline. Now, if I made this a female-only event, men wouldn't even come out. This is really aimed at men, because I know men who like to bury their heads like ostriches and still try to walk forward. But the pressure on men's shoulders becomes the pain in our hearts. And we want couples, sons, fathers, uncles, brothers to walk into 2026 healthier, clearer, stronger, not broken. That's what we really want to be able to do. And I want to sort of just cover just some key points before I go into putting on part two. And it just really, and it's not to put doom and gloom, but I think sometimes we need to, you know, sometimes we can't gloss over certain things. The adverts are all around, you know, the weather outside is frightening. It's all about indulgence and overindulgence. So we have to understand that when it comes to this wonderful month of December, it can for many men be the most dangerous month for their cardiovascular health, right? Their cortisol levels are up from financial pressure, the alcohol is up from the social parties they've started already at work, the sugar is up from the Christmas eating, the sleep is down from the late nights. I'll say it again. The cortisol, their stress levels are up for the financial pressures of all the gifts they have to get and to make sure they keep up and etc., etc., and decorating the outside of your house and blah, blah, blah. You've got the alcohol from all the social events that have started way ahead, the sugar from all the Christmas eating and the overindulgence, and then the sleep, the repair, restore, rebuild, refresh. That is down from the late nights. Emotional expression is down because most men don't want to ruin Christmas and don't actually speak up. This creates the perfect storm. This is the problem. Is it actually creates the perfect storm for stroke, heart attack, hypertensive spikes, even erectile dysfunction, quality burnout. So, this is why I have this She Comes First 13-spoke health feel. Because literally, I try to help people to understand that stress is the gateway symptom, right? It kind of shuts down your oxygen, your movement, your intimacy, your sleep, your hormones. It shuts down everything. So, I want to say to the women that listen to this show, that are in London, that can make it into Soho, 54 Dean Street, Sacred Grounds, this Saturday. Doors open at 6:30 and the event starts at 7 o'clock with the wonderful young Marvin Moore sharing his story from becoming the father figure in his house from the age of 9-10 years of age after his dad died at the tender age of 36. And he's now 27. It's sharing Dr. Aubrey Oliver is sharing, as a neuroscientist, all his insights on the five biggest stressors that we'll be talking about. And Norman, who literally came from, literally from dialysis to dynamic health, who turned his back on the medical profession over 20 years ago, even though the doctors and his family told him he was crazy. And at 71 years of age, looking like he's 50, he's here to tell the story posturally, hormonally, aligned naturally without relying on medication. So my shout out to everybody that listens to this show that can make it or can share it is, if you love a man, bring him. If you are a man, come for yourself. This weekend could change your 2026. Now this year, 2025, the 2, 2 and 5 astrologically is seen as a year of completion. It will not come round again. So you have an opportunity to end the year strong. It starts at 7, it finishes at 10, about 9:30, 10. You can stay in network or you can shoot off and go raving after. But guys, honestly, it's time for us to empower ourselves, to become enlightened, empowered, encouraged and enabled, so that we actually are able to walk into, as I've said, my trademark, the physical pension plan investment program, is health and finance in harmony. All of this effort, all of this stress, all of this pressure into building financial future without ensuring there's a physical future to match it makes no sense. And that's why I trademarked the physical pension plan investment program from as way back as in 2009. Erectile dysfunction is often the first sign of vascular decline. So that means the airways, breath, it's looking at breath. And if you have compromised breathing, then anything below the belly button takes longer to heal and it's harder to get the blood flow to the area. And so therefore it's very much harder to stand tall, guys. It really is important for you to understand this. I talk in plain English. So high blood pressure, cold weather and stress just equals constricted vessels. So, you know, erectile dysfunction is not a bedroom issue. It, for many times, it's actually a cardiovascular warning. And most of the times, we don't link the two things together. You go to the doctor and tell him something's going on downstairs. Many times, they may not equate it with what's going on upstairs, what's going on in the heart. Because something has to affect the heart, the chest, the lungs, for you to have issues in terms of natural erections. But your body is always whispers before it screams, right? So for us, it's really hard because we read that as rejection, blame, confusion, emotional distance. We don't understand that. But really and truly, we need to be able to have an understanding of what's going on with you. We can reframe it. And it's not a sign of failure. It's just a sign of physiology, right? And the physiology of your body is just trying to say something. You have an opportunity to make that change. And so I'm really hoping that as we start to recognize that, we can make some difference, right? And we know already we have this sad, yeah? and it intensifies in December. And we know that SAD stands for seasonal affective decline. We know that can, you know, we've got light deprivation because, you know, 3-4 o'clock in the UK and it's already getting dark. It's much colder, especially now for us, we're having a very damp December. So it the mood dips, it has an impact on our hormones. It also has an impact on our sleep, and we have sleep dysregulation, and it comes right back to self. So we're looking at self, because if as a man you are struggling with natural erectile function, that's going to affect you. And really, it may be a sign of, it really shows up a sign of a lack of self-care, but that doesn't mean, I don't mean in terms of your outward appearance. You know, burning the candles at both ends and in the middle and not getting the adequate sleep. Whilst you are reaching your deadlines, you're reaching the deadlines at the cost to your health. So that's why I say it's a lack of self-care, because sometimes we look at it as something that we're actually intentionally doing. But if our breathing is compromised, if our thoughts are negative, if we're not getting the right sleep, if we're not getting the right nutrition in, then our self-care is compromised. And when our self-care is compromised, our hormones will be compromised. We're more short-tempered. We have emotional instability, emotional disempowerment, which means we're going to have hormonal dysregulation. And that's why we're having problems with something as powerfully emotive as erectile dysfunction, which throws the emotions out even more, which throws the hormones out even more, which makes you hold the breath even more, which perpetuates and keeps you in this cycle. So we love you. We love you. We want to help you. We want you to be able to come along. And just before I play a trail and bring in the last part of the interview, I'm going to finish with some more points. Just to know that diabetes spikes after the 10th of December. Well, this is in this week. So when you start to hear this show this week, we already passed the 10th of December. Because why is it that diabetes spike after the 10th of December? It's three simple things. Office parties, sugar. Are you sweet enough? Sugar. Carbs, liver overload. Liver is emotion, and it's linked to the emotion of anger and frustration. So emotional intelligent links, yeah? So for me, as I said, diabetes as an acronym is daily inflammation accelerated by eating the excess sugar. Add that to deadlines that you have to get done for work. Add that to the list of presents that your children or your wife or your family want. The things that need to be paid for beforehand. Making sure you have enough money to do X, Y, Z, A, B, and C. Maybe you want to go away, etc., etc. And the daily inflammation accelerated by eating the excess sugar is exacerbated by stress, because stress can make your pants tight. Now, if you want to get a ticket, you can go to jennyrussell.com, jennyrussell.com, R-U-S-S, that's Sierra Sierra, E-L-L, limalima.com. And we've got 2-for-1 tickets, so bring somebody along. You really won't regret it. It's in a beautiful space, the Charing Cross End Road of Dean Street. Come out of exit 2 into Chinatown. I think it's called Newport Place, the road. Walk through Chinatown onto Charing Cross, and literally it will take you less than 5 minutes and you are right there. It's a beautiful spot. Come along. It's a lovely coffee shop. Get some really wonderful hot chocolate. Get some nibbles. Come and meet some like-minded people and empower yourself. Learn some things about yourself so that you can look at a pattern that you might want to get rid of and look at something new that you can take into 2026 and commit to, so that you can have the health and the finance in harmony, so that as you get older, ready to retire, your body can match that nest egg of finance, so that you have the freedom to move freely and enjoy the experiences that you have been saving towards. Find me on Instagram at Pelvic Secrets, Facebook Jenny Russell or Pelvic Floor Secrets, and TikTok at Pelvic Secrets. I also have the link in my bio on those pages. So there are many ways. Or go to eventbrite.co.uk, type in Unfiltered Men's Health Soho, 13th of December, and you will find it. So, 2-for-1 tickets. You really don't have a reason why you can't make it. There really isn't one. Don't tell me about a party. Don't tell me about a rave. The Nine Night and the Wakes are not meant to be weekly events. And if we're not careful and we don't start to look after our health, it's going to be our Nine Night and our weekly event that everyone else is going to. So, let's get ourselves out. You can come as you are, dressed. And also, I'm bringing my Swiss ball. If you want to find out how strong and stable you are, two sticks and one ball. Come along. Let's play a trip.
UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano, flat white, macchiato.
Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle Magazine on the UKHealthRadio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Exactly. It's exactly the, and your point around, again, it's normalizing the silence, right? So people live with this and they think, oh, I just have to put up with it. I just have to suffer. Nobody wants, the number of women I speak to who don't want to go to the office when they have heavy bleed, you know, when they're heavy bleeding or through incontinence or, you know, these things that people then self opt out of being fully participating members of their world and their society because of the stigma and the shame and the silence around things that exactly what you're describing can be addressed. And we can, we can help ourselves and be helped by other people and not have to live with these. And yet this kind of makes women's worlds smaller and makes their ability to be beautiful, flourishing members of their communities, it restricts that. And I find this deeply heartbreaking because the not talking about it means that nothing gets better and they just kind of get more and more in this narrowed field of action, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It does. Makes a lot of sense. But you know what I think is really interesting? I think what's quite nice, though, you've got 250,000, so a quarter million OBS and gynae appointments are recorded and women are taking control. But 84% of those are between the ages of 18 to 34. So first of all, I want to put up that flag and send in the, you know, happy, happy. It's really great. This is a great, because it means there's a, it's a new revolution. And this is what I really want to drive towards. Like, that's why I say it's from menstruation to menopause.
Yes.
Because we don't have to have the same experience in menopause that women of my age and the generation below have had, because we have to understand the long-term impact of stress on our emotional and hormonal health and how it will show up as a negative menopause experience, you know? So it's nice. It's nice that they're tracking, they're tracing, they're taking ownership of their health, yeah? But 35 plus women, we have to start still get them to understand it's time for them to do it. They're less likely to track, more likely to suffer in silence because they're still buying into what is being told, you know? And we want to give women, that's what I do with She Comes First, what you're doing with your clue as well, give them the opportunity to get their data, get their answers, and take their agency back. So I love that. So why do you think younger women are more proactive with reproductive health than the older generation?
Yeah, this is where I think the internet actually has been very helpful, because I think curiosity, the fact of the matter is I've almost spoken to no one who had enough education at school. You know, at school they get a certain level of, it doesn't matter which country, a certain level of information about some of the biological processes involved, not all of them. And then it's sort of left at that. But, you know, we live in these experiences and we are curious and want to know more. When I was a young woman, I didn't know where to go to find that. But young women now know where they can go to find that, and they are going and looking, and they are very hungry and proactive for information and looking for it. And so, you know, it doesn't matter if they're looking online, if they're looking in apps, if they're using large language models, they are looking for the information because they think this can't be it. Surely there's something here more to understand. I need to understand more. Social media they're using a lot as well. And so I think while there can be a double-edged sword in all of it, the access to information and the ability for women to self-educate and pull that information instead of waiting around for it to be pushed to them, because it never is really powerful, and I think is what's driving a lot of that difference. You know, you see it as well with chronic conditions like endometriosis, which is a horrible condition, and it could impact up to 1 in 10 women, and the timeline to getting diagnosed is really long. And all the evidence shows that, exactly as you're saying, actually women's experiences after menarche and adolescence are very indicative and predictive of whether or not they really do have endometriosis. And so, but women now, younger and younger, are starting to say, this can't be normal. I shouldn't be passing out and vomiting. You know, I really want you to listen to me. We need to do some work here. And so I think younger women are taking more agency because they have access to more information. You know, ignorance never serves us, and not having the information never serves us. And maybe we choose to do nothing once we understand and know what's going on with ourselves, but ignorance never makes us healthier.
Ignorance is not bliss. Well, they say ignorance is bliss. No. It's not bliss. It's far from bliss. Bliss is supposed to be a good thing. Ignorance is not, it's not bliss. Yes. And I think, you know, I think it's important, I suppose, like even, you know, you've got the stats here for 58% of the fantasies and masturbation are led by the Gen Zs, you know, and it's not hypersexualization. You know, we put it under that umbrella as being hypersexualization, but it's not just that. It's self-awareness. And when that self-awareness comes in, it helps. And this is what I'm saying is that, you know, I say to my friends that there's a whole generation of women in the church who have had sexual experiences, who may be in or out of a relationship, who, you know, are older and would love to be married and have a companion, but want to be under the umbrella of God, right? But because there's different ways of understanding what masturbation is, and also understanding, as I mentioned, understanding the biological changes that are happening within that lovely, you know, I've got this whole poem on, because when I got my V4 Gina, so, and I looked up Gina, which is Italian for queen, and if you take the VA and you turn it to their virtual assistants, right? So then your VA's job is to make your Gina vibrantly appealing. Then she becomes vibrantly appealing Gina, the most sought after girl I know. The entrance to a gateway that brings love, life and flow. Yet many underrate her and call her all kinds of names. Not understanding Gina may cause a life of hurt and shame. And it goes on from there. But the whole point is, that's it, right? If you don't understand what's going on within your vagina, you don't understand what is happening, you don't understand where the vagina is. It's not the lips on the outside. You don't understand the change. You don't understand what organs can fall into or out of it. You don't understand anything about it. You cannot protect it.
Yes.
You cannot protect it. If you cannot protect it, you expose it to so many things. plus the fact that, you know, understanding the uterus and its role in pelvic and spinal stability, if you do not understand that internal world down there, it can be for us women such a massive amount of undoing, from prolapse to incontinence to loss of sexual feeling to loss to back pain to the list is endless. But yeah, it's all linked to that bit when, like you said, when they come in and they talk and go, so Rhiannon, I got, do you get it? And you're waiting for it to speak and they're just going.
And people can't even use the words. Yeah. And, you know, I just think it's not, exactly as you say, you know, it's the center of health. And by, you know, ignorance is bliss. How can incontinence be bliss? You know, and yet if we're not ignorant, we can have the tools and we can take the steps to make sure that we're healthy and vibrant and active. You know, how can any of these things be, they're all net good for society and for the individuals therein, right? You know, actually over the age of 65, 1 in 2 hospitalizations for women are involved osteoporosis, right? And actually osteoporosis, it's devastating for women. It's devastatingly expensive for society. It's your point about lost productivity. And yet actually strength training, vitamin D and HRT where appropriate, you know, these all are very inexpensive. They're easy, they're accessible. They can make a big difference for a woman and for, like, it's not, this is the individual and the society. We are all connected, and keeping us in ignorance doesn't do anything for anyone. It's more expensive. No. It's harmful. It's a bummer. and then we take joy.
And every woman needs one of these. Woman needs a Swiss ball. Yeah. This is the best bit of kit on the planet, especially as we get older. That is the best thing for flexibility, for stability, for strength, and for power. We need those things. So, and I do an online Swiss ball class. I love it. So, look, we're running out of time, but we're going to, this is going to be a longer than, it's my show. It's going to be the whole show. So we're going to have one more break. And we're going to finish with the last little bit. So one more break.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If you see the letters AIDA, do you immediately think of the opera by Verdi? AIDA is also an advertising acronym for those iconic Mad Men days. A is for attention, I is for interest, D is for desire, A is for action. This process is a timeless truism for making a sale. Fortunately, if your product or service is health-related, we can offer you guaranteed access to a global audience with a high interest in health, healthy lifestyle and contemporary well-being. UKHealthRadio.com has a regular monthly audience of around 1.5 million health-conscious people. And Health Triangle, its award-winning monthly magazine, has around 20,000 paying subscribers. Find out more about both at UKHealthRadio.com. Let's all put health first.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena Sensitive Care Pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena Sensitive Care Pads with the skin comfort formula online and in stores now.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, Rhiannon, so you know, it's just me and you today, right? Nothing else matters. This whole show is dedicated to this because I think it's such a powerful conversation. I've had so much fun talking to you, and I just think it's like we just need to make sure. So I wanted to, just before I ask you where people can get more information, I wanted to go back to one of the things I think is really, really important that people don't understand. Now, Gen Zs, you are younger than me, you have got a bit more time, but understand what we're going to talk about now, you need to start considering. And this is one of the things that most people think it doesn't matter. We've got 24-hour TV and we've got screens and we've got, you know, literally, you know, the old days I had my little flip phone because my number, 07956, is an original number. When they first came out, that was the original number. Mm-hmm. And so you flip the phone, it was just a phone, young people, just a phone. No screens, no, just a phone. Hello? Pull the aerial up. Right. So we didn't take it to bed at night. We didn't take it to bed. I couldn't watch nothing on it. I could only make a phone call and that's it. Then a bit later, I could send a text message. That's it. Right. Sleep. That's what we're going to talk about. Sleep. People do not understand the importance of sleep deficit. But sleep deficit can also be called executive risk. It's an executive health risk. It's one of the biggest executive health risks out there. So regardless of all the corporate language you want to use about data and meta and this and that, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, the question is, when you come in, like you said, you know, your lady concerned, she could see it. You can't hide tiredness. And the and the thing is, for me, your 8-year-old and your 6-year-old, bless them, keeping you up. I'm going to give you some tools in a minute. It's called a belt, and no, I'm joking. So they're keeping you up, right? But they keep you up at night, and you wake up in the morning, and you know that you're going to drive to Timbuktu. You know you've had 2 hours sleep. Are you putting your children in the car and driving them anywhere? You're not doing it, right? So, but so this is the point. It's like, we keep driving. I've just got that one last bit of the project to finish. I've just got this one last bit to do. That's fine. But sleep deficit, wake up tired, 38% wake up tired, 15% can't fall asleep, right? Not understanding the hormonal issues, the emotional issue on sleep deprivation makes you very emotionally disempowered, which means it calls on the wrong hormones, right?
Yes.
Which means you're going to have a proliferation of more cortisol than you need in your body. So poor sleep, poor decisions, poor boundaries, burnout. So why are so many women, and it's a hard question to answer, but why are so many women waking up tired even when they think they have slept?
Oh, that is a hard question. I think...
Over to you. So wicked.
But great. But it's a really important question because you're right. Sleep is another one of those core foundational aspects of health. And one of the things that often women don't realize until they start tracking is that the menstrual cycle can also impact sleep, right? There is a lot of evidence, and we see it in our data as well, around certain phases in the cycle, particularly the late luteal phase. Often women have poorer sleep, or if they're in their period in the early follicular phase and pain, they might have poorer sleep. You know, there is a I was interviewing a woman a couple of weeks ago who said that she had, through tracking, realized that she had very poor sleep in the 3 nights before she gets her period. And she had been feeling like, oh, what am I doing wrong? My sleep hygiene's bad. You know, I'm sort of taking it on herself and somehow not giving herself any grace. But through tracking and looking at her data, she realized, okay, it's a clear pattern. I just need to give myself some grace and plan around it a bit and don't do any of it. Don't drive to Timbuktu on those days. And then sort of manage around it, realizing that there's nothing wrong with her per se. It's her pattern and that's her map of her health, and that's what she needs to work with. And there are many, many things that do get in the way of women's sleep. I 100% agree with you about the phone. You know, we have a no phone in the bedroom rule in our household because it's really the screen and the light and all these things does really impact sleep. I think the belief that exactly as you articulated, that, you know, just doing one more thing, something I've had to learn very painfully myself as I've gotten older, is that actually trying to push through is going to be counterproductive. Often what I need to do is say, this is really important and quite urgent. I need to stop and go to bed early so that tomorrow I can actually get up a little bit earlier and be refreshed and do a better job. Tell them. It's hard to learn these things. And, you know, fundamentally, a lot of the way we live sort of fights against sleep.
It does.
And there's this, you know, I don't know if you've, this ridiculous thing about 996 in terms of working Silicon Valley hours and people bragging about how little they sleep. And I just think, are you mad? Do you not actually understand, you know, that this is the foundation of your health and your longevity and your ability to contribute? And so to yourself.
I'll pause you for 1 second. The most important word you said there was longevity. Because people are doing this 996, they're doing all this stuff, they're pushing through. But I tell you what, we're supposed to be I'm looking after my mum. I'm going there tonight to look after. She's bedbound now, dementia, doubly incontinent. She's non-verbal now, doesn't recognise her six children. I'm one of six. But it's really that we should be burying her, as sad as it is. But too many parents, when they don't even have the health and vitality themselves, are burying their children. And a lot of it's to do with the underlying intangible results of sleep deprivation. Now, Before we go any further, because I know we're going to really literally, what, literally 5 minutes left before I have to wrap up, because the show's only 50 minutes long and we've taken 45. Just can you very briefly, because for some women, they say, okay, fine, what is this part of my period? So very briefly, can you just very briefly just explain the different stages of the lunar cycle and literally what may just maybe one or two little nuggets, what may show in each thing and what they could probably then link to maybe a health thing or whatever. Is that
Oh,
right?
that's a great question. So, the beginning of the menstrual cycle is the first day of red bleeding, and that's day one of your cycle. And that's the beginning of the follicular phase. And so that's when you're shedding the lining from your previous cycle and you're starting to grow, what will turn into eggs that could come through the next cycle. And that lasts for the period component of the follicular, which is the early follicular phase, lasts anywhere from a few days to, up to 8 is quite standard. And then the late follicular phase, the follicles in your ovaries, the one that might come through as an egg that cycle is growing, growing, growing until it's released at ovulation. And ovulation is usually in the middle of the cycle. For convenience sake, people talk about it being cycle day 14, but actually it varies depending on, each individual woman. It's not necessarily cycle day 14. The ovulation itself is a moment in time, and ovulation is really a very short part of the phase, around 24 to 48 hours. And then the egg is released and it travels through the fallopian tubes and down into the uterus. And then that's what's called the luteal phase. So the early luteal phase is the first half of that, where the egg is looking to see whether or not there is a sperm to fertilize it. And then the late and then if it does get fertilized, it's when it attaches to the wall of the uterus, and that's what's called implantation. And if it doesn't, then you move into the late luteal phase, where the lining has been thickening, 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 and then the body says, nope, there's no fertilized egg here, so we need to switch the hormonal balance to shed the lining of the uterus and start the cycle again. And that late luteal phase is when people feel classic PMS symptoms, really fatigued, emotional swings, pain, cramping, all sorts of symptoms that people record in that phase. Amazing thing is we don't really understand exactly the same thing we were talking about with perimenopause, why some women experience pain and PMS and others experience mood swings, some experience none of the above. We don't know why there's such variation, but there is. And so then the uterine lining sheds and cycle starts all over again.
Fantastic, fantastic. I was told that day 17 is not a good day to make decisions in the period phase.
I think it depends on each individual. I mean, this is the power of tracking. I was speaking to a woman a few months ago who found through tracking that on cycle day 19 she'd get into a fight with her husband. And so she realized through tracking, if she feels like they're going to get into it, she'd check the app. And if it was cycle day 19, she'd walk away. If it wasn't, well, then it
They get into it. That's
was
fantastic.
on. But
Oh my
really comes
God.
down to each person's map.
Honestly, this has been absolutely fantastic. Like people talk about obviously KPIs and they call it, just key performance indicators. But you can have a HPI, which is a health performance indicator. This is a
Yes.
classic HPI. This has been
Absolutely.
absolutely amazing. So for me, we've run out of time, but we definitely have to stay connected and we definitely have to talk again because this has been amazing.
I
So
would love that.
let me ask you then, as we sadly finish, yeah, and I need 2 hours, man. Anyway, so let me ask you, Rihanna, what is one thing you wish every woman knew about her cycle that could, that this is a big question again, right? That could change her entire life.
I wish every woman knew that the cycle is the base map of the menstrual cycle is the base map of female health. And understanding and embracing your cycle is part of understanding and embracing your overall health. And if you know what your map and your pattern looks like, then you know what's good for you. And that's what I would love everyone to understand.
Oh, fantastic. So where can people go to get this app? Where they can download it? Where can they go?
Yep, we're on Apple and Android in both app stores. There's a free version and a paid version available in every app store in the world. Wherever you can download an app, you can
And is
download
it just
Clue.
called Clue?
It's just called Clue. Yep.
Fantastic. Yeah, give us a clue. I love that. There's a microphone, got a little, not microphone, little magnifying glass. Give us a clue.
Yeah.
I love it. This has been absolutely fantastic, honestly. I mean, like I said, already, if men had cycles, this is what I wrote down, right? If men had cycles that affected their sleep, their mood, their sex, their pain, and performance every single month, it would have its own division in every corporation. Now, wasn't that just absolutely powerful? I just love Rhiannon Wright, and that was a wonderful, Rhiannon White, actually. But my time is fast spent because I've got another interview to fit in from the wonderful Joe Hemmings about the stresses we have over Christmas. But before we do that, I really want to just come back to this weekend. Because like I said, whatever affects men affects us as well. So women's stress increases because they carry emotional labour. And, you know, your health affects our well-being as well. Respiratory infections, asthma, cold weather, inflammation, that also restricts blood vessels. And so the risks for heart go up. Alcohol and emotional triggers linked to poor sleep, poor digestion, hormonal imbalances, mood volatility. And if we look at the corporate burnout, the metabolic fatigue, and the January health collapse, I'm just going to help you to put yourself in a position where you recognize that everything that I've listed and I've said, either side of part two of the wonderful Rhiannon, is reversible. And if you know what to do, you can reverse it. And this is what Men's Health is giving you. It's giving you the blueprint. So, at Pelvic Secrets, TikTok, Instagram, Jenny Russell, Facebook, LinkedIn, Pelvic Floor Secrets on Facebook. You can go to my website, jennyrussell.com, and you can press the link there. Go to eventbrite.co.uk, book your seat there. Or you can email me, pelvicsecrets@icloud.com. Bring a friend, tell a friend to bring a friend. Let's pack out the venue and let's have an amazing, amazing opportunity to change and transform a life. Let's put I'm really blessed to be speaking with Jo Hemmings, and she is a behavioral psychologist, and we are going to discuss whether or not, you know, we're going to cancel Christmas. So, Jo, welcome to Her Health and Happiness.
Thank you so much, Jenny. No, we're not going to cancel Christmas. Exactly. The plus point is 80% are looking forward to it. So that's the positive side of it. And the 20% that want to have considered cancelling it. I mean, what about all those other people that are involved? I mean, no.
It's a crazy thing, isn't it? The thought of actually cancelling Christmas. See, the thing, as a Christian, right, can't cancel Christmas because you cannot cancel the birth, death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So you can't cancel Christmas. It's there whether you celebrate.
Yes, that's right. Yes, that's absolutely true.
So for those that are not talking about Jesus, let's talk about the other ones.
Okay.
I'm talking about. So the thing is, for me, I'm thinking, like, as a, you know, as a intimate health coach, a female intimate health coach, everything I look at when you look at stress, I always look at where it shows up in the body. And it will always show up for us in our root chakra. It's going to be that's our fight, flight, freeze, or our safety, security, and survival. So you've got, you know, these people, that's 44% of us saying that stress is, you know, just jarring them. It's just attacking the nervous system.
It is, yeah. I mean, this is research done by SPAR, and you're right. You know, a little bit of stress, as you know, is kind of good for us. We need it to sort of make sure that we're on our toes and don't do anything too reckless.
Mm.
However, you know, when you've got those levels of adrenaline and cortisol, which are our stress hormones, running high for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, this is not a good way to be when you're preparing for some sort of celebration. Mm. And it you know, there's a list that SPAR have done of the 30 top Christmas stresses. I mean, some of them are totally understandable. You know, the sheer cost of it all, that is crazy at the moment. We see it in our weekly shop, and it obviously really amplified in our Christmas shop. And some of them are really daft, I'm sorry. But when we get to number eight, losing the end of sellotape. I mean, you know, some of them are quite serious and understandable, and others are just...
Well, I what's the one I just read? I just love wrapping paper everywhere. Come on, right? Fussy eaters. Actually, I'm one of those fussy eaters. I will say I'm one of those fussy eaters. Unexpected guests turning up. Now, for me, this is a big one. You know already, you've got... And I had this conversation with my best friend the other day. She's like, oh, my sister said she's going to come, but the kids are going to come. I'm like, tell them to come after dinner.
Yeah, 100%.
That means that if everybody's saying they're coming to your house, that means they're saving money and you're spending more money. So have your Christmas dinner with your immediate family.
Yes.
And then you have the little nibbles and stuff with people that they can enjoy after dinner.
100%. I mean, I've got a 6-seater dining table. So as it is, I've got to drag in the little kitchen table. I've got 9 people. and a one-year-old, and already if somebody else came unexpectedly, I don't even know why to plonk themselves, to be honest. So yeah, I can imagine that would be a stress, but you know, a lot of it is getting it in perspective. I think it's planning early, being flexible, you know, having realistic expectations of what's going on, and also appreciating what we are celebrating, which is family. Whether you believe, you know, the religious end of Christmas or not, you are, it is a time when you are celebrating with your family. And it's amazing, and it's once a year, and to let stress overwhelm you to the point where you can't enjoy it seems a terrible,
it's crazy, isn't it,
tragedy to me.
It's, for me, I feel like it's like, you know, the thing is like, because you build up to this, right? So like we said, short-term stress is really good. So then you could sort of reframe it as, what have you been swallowing emotionally that brings you to this point that it all spills out, and then suddenly you just feel like you can't cope, you know? So then, you know, I run these 60-day journeys, so straight away I'm thinking people need some emotional empowerment, because you're throwing all your hormones out of whack. You're just creating this whole scenario of what it is, a season, but it's really a day. So I find it amazing that everyone spends everything they haven't got and then some the day before Christmas, and then they're back in the shops on Boxing Day. Like,
I know.
Like,
I mean, we're in this horrible consumer loop, aren't we?
We are. We are.
This. And, you know, again, those Christmas TV adverts. I mean, nobody has a Christmas table that looks like that, or all these guests very jolly and polite and everything's...
everything's cooked perfectly.
That. Yeah, I mean, I swear that's a plastic turkey sprayed with hair oil or something. It doesn't look like a proper turkey out of the oven. So you're not going to have a table like that. So don't worry about it. It's fine. And, you know, the thing with spa is it says, you know, it's open over Christmas. You forget something, you can go out to your convenience store. But the truth is you can also pretend to go and get something spa and just go out and get 10 minutes of fresh air.
Go out for a walk.
Yeah, the nerves. I mean, I've got a triple whammy at Christmas, Jenny. It's my birthday on Christmas Day.
Oh, happy birthday on Christmas Day. I remember that. And I'll toast you on Christmas Day.
Son's birthday on Christmas Day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we both share it with Jesus.
There you are. We are special.
We are special. So that sense of sort of stress has always been a little bit amplified in my head, because I think I've got this, got to make his birthday nice. They think they got my birthday nice. Anyway, at the end of the day, it is what it's going to be. And I'm not
Sorry to cut you, Jo. I just have to cut you for a second, because, you know, when you share birthday on Christmas Day with yourself, your son, Jesus, the whole world, right?
Yeah.
Do you feel a bit robbed because you've only got one day when all the presents come in?
People always ask that. No, I feel quite special, actually. My mum always did Christmas in the morning and birthday in the afternoon.
Oh, lovely.
And I do the same for my son, so that we get a little bit of break. We get the Christmas presents wrapped in birthday presents, rather, wrapped in birthday paper. That's very important. Silly little things like that matter. But no, I mean, I think I'm quite blessed to have a birthday that I share with the sun, and it happens to be on Christmas Day, so no, it's a big day.
Yeah, because I mean, my son's birthday is bang, he's like the 14th of June, so literally the middle of June.
Wow,
and then 6 months later, he's got Christmas Day, so it's kind of a good spread out, you know.
Very good spread out, very well planned.
Yeah, this one, like I said, my niece is like the 9th of December, and then she's like 16 days, I've got more to come. So, yeah, but I mean, you know, I would want to ask that, you know, from that survey, it's like, if your health could speak plainly to you this December, what would it ask you to stop doing? Because I think that you said, what's the one thing you could think about that you can stop doing? Because you can't regulate. Well, you can actually regulate for unexpected guests. You can just buy a bit extra, you know, and sometimes if you do a bigger batch cook on Christmas Day, it means you haven't got to spend all day in the kitchen on Boxing Day or the day after.
I think a lot of it is about trying to see the positives. So one of the things that came up, where was it? Number 3, wrapping a mountain of presents. That's the third most stressful thing. Well, do you know what? Put some nice music on while you're doing it, or have a film in the background. You know, it's actually a little bit of space for yourself, you know, while you're doing it. They don't have to be perfect. I think sometimes turning the negatives into a positive, or at least taking the negativity out of them, can lower that stress. And also it's the fear of doing them. You might see this mountain. When you start getting through of it, there's a sense of achievement.
And, that's right.
You know, just...
But it looks nice when they're all wrapped under the tree and they've got the little boxes and different things. It looks lovely. You know what I think is interesting, Jo? The lengthy shopping queues. Now, I will say, right, me and shopping queues, we're not the best of friends, together. You know? So, but then there's, I suppose, the way to avoid that is to shop early. Like September, October, November, shop early. You know, I don't want to advocate for online shopping because the high street, the face of the high street is beginning to change.
I agree.
And not for the better. We need to make sure we still support the shops on the high street. But we've got to look at a way in which we're planning this shopping so that we don't find ourselves in, you know, the department stores walking around with people shoving and pushing and all
get
this stuff.
Get there early.
You know?
I would say people get there early in the morning as the doors open. There's hardly anybody there. Well, that's the best way for me to do it. I can't go in the middle of the day because, you know, not my best friend either to sort of be shoved.
It's too much. Do you know, my youngest, he's now doing some bar work and he's working in near Leicester Square in this really big, high-end bar pub that a lot of people like... All right, Mum, come in a minute. A lot of people like to go to and queue up for. So I went the other day, we was passing it after a friend's birthday. And I said to one of the security guards, I asked if my son was there. And I said, I'm his mum. He's like, oh, come in. I've got four friends. Come in. You, that's how you jump the queue. But you can't do that in the supermarket. You can't go to the supermarket and go to the total. You know, it's my mate, you know, like, up to the front.
Sadly. You know? No, you've just got to work your way around these things that you don't stress about them. If you can change them, and do it better, earlier, whatever, do it. If you can't, you can't. You're going to have to accept it.
The in-laws. Secret Santa, 12% Secret Santa. It's a choice. You can either do it or you don't. You don't have to do Secret Santa. You don't have to feel, you know, obligated to be in something like that. But I actually quite like sometimes a £5-10 present. You know, you literally, if you're really honest, right, it's if you're going to buy for everybody what they want, you're going to have to remortgage your house. At this point here, I think most people have what they want. So I think the Secret Santa works because you can find some little novel, little tiny trinkety things that, you know, that can be quite sweet.
It's a thought, isn't it? It's a considered, this person would like that. Of course they can afford it themselves, but it's just the thoughtfulness. With any gift, actually, I think it's really important. It's not the amount of money spent. It's the amount of consideration for that individual.
And time and thought that went into it, so... Yeah. Okay. So we're going to wrap up soon. So batteries not included, but that comes already, right? That's teenagers refusing to help. I mean, what's new?
Yeah, none of this is new. Kids waking up at 5 a.m. Hello. That's going to happen.
Deciding who's a designated driver. All you've got to do, if it's two of you, and it's just get to the house first and start drinking early before the other person, and then you will not have to be the driver.
But the trouble is, if you both decide to do that, then you're in real trouble. You're never going to...
Yeah, it is. Well, I mean, my mum lives like 4 miles from my house, and every year for Christmas, I just get an Uber. I honestly don't want to put myself under that pressure because, you know, we have a Bolly breakfast. I have a Bollinger breakfast all the time on Christmas Day. So
of course you do. The one with the Gucci shoes and the very expensive taste.
What's one takeaway?
Make it as simple as possible. Plan ahead. Get your space when you need it. You know, delegate tasks as well to other people so you don't take on the whole burden. And just think you're working towards a pleasurable...
It's like I had to cut the last part of that interview off. It's absolutely crazy. Ben, health and happiness next week. I'll play the last bit next week. Stay blessed, stay well, stay safe.